Jimmy Tribe. I go by Jimmy. I'm a facilitator. I don't work for the department. I work for myself. I've had my business 26 years. I live in Missoula. Having said that, I do some contracting with Fish, Wildlife, and Parks in terms of meetings like this and processes about issues. There are people in this room who are seated in the audience who I've done work with different organizations, and I just want you to know that. I'll try to maintain my neutrality as we go forward. Having said that, I'm not afraid of anybody, except my mom, and she died, and the Pope, and they've got a new one, and, you know, it's working out. So, I hope I didn't offend anybody. I went to Catholic schools here in Billings for 12 years, and my parents are buried here, and I was actually delighted to hear the meeting was going to be here so I could come back to my hometown across the state for just a couple of days. So, we have quite an agenda, and in a minute, Director Hager is going to talk about the focus of the meeting, but I just wanted to do a little bit of housekeeping first. So we have a member of one of the conservation districts who is filming the meeting for their purposes. Will you raise your hand? Is that okay with everybody? Because we like to ask permission first.
Yes.
It's a public meeting, so we probably would have to wrestle for camera. So we just like everybody to know that. The second thing is that because the discussion group members are doing work that's been asked for by the department that they convene this discussion group, they buy them lunch. But legally, they can't buy you lunch. So the hotel has a grab-and-go lunch for $12 that they serve down in the coffee room. If anybody wants to stay here for lunch and then come back and observe the rest of the meeting. There are agendas in the, would you hold those up? There's a pile of agendas back there. And the agenda looks huge, but what it really does is not only help us walk through what we're doing today, but it also has some excerpts from the summary of the meeting that was held in Lewistown in September, so that some of the work that was done in a tentative way by the discussion group we're going to use today. And I just wanted all of you to be able to see that stuff so you kind of know what they were working on and working with. So if you don't have one, maybe somebody could go back and pass them around and make sure everybody's got one. So I'm just looking at my notes quickly. We also have some discussion ground rules that you know, part of my business is about seeing if we can have civil discussion about issues that are really hot. And there's nothing quite as hot as what will happen to bison in the state of Montana. And we can call bison all kinds of things, regardless of how we feel about it. I'm going to ask you if you would honor the ground rules that the discussion group will have, and one of them is to turn off your cell phones, or at least put it on the buzz, or if you're expecting an emergency call, just get up and leave, and we'll know that's why you did it. So those ground rules are intended to encourage what I call productive discussion, productive comment, but I'm also going to call it safe comment and safe discussion. And the safety isn't about fistfights, although I have done sessions where I've asked people to leave their guns at the door. But safety, in this case, is about people being able to say what they need to say without feeling intimidated, without feeling like they got a cheer from people and somebody else didn't, so that we really can concentrate on the issue and not on the emotion. That is not to say there's not emotion in the issue. There is. And I'm going to ask you to work within the following ground rules. And by the way, they're the first thing on the back of the first page of the agenda. Participate, but be respectfully candid. We're asking for honesty, but not with a blunt instrument. And that particularly is among the discussion group members up here. Recognize and learn from all the interests that are involved. I'm 70 years old. I hardly... I've reached a point in my life where If I meet with some people and didn't learn something that day, it's my loss. So I'm going to ask you if you would recognize and learn from what you hear today, both from comments from members of the public who are here observing, as well as discussion group members. And I've used the word interests because people have interests. For example, we may have some societal interests, like it's in the interest of the state of Montana to be able to resolve this issue in a way that's satisfactory to those involved and those affected. We may have an issue that's closer to the bone, like it's in my interest to make sure that the placement of bison on the Montana landscape does not affect me economically, if I'm a landowner or an agricultural person. So I want you to think about the interests as people talk, and those interests belong to the person talking. I might not value your interest particularly, but it belongs to you, and you have a right to say it. Please be effective in your communication, and that's when you are speaking. If you are a member of the public who's chosen to speak, as well as the discussion group members, listen actively, you know, meaning you're not writing your grocery list while you're listening and then standing up and rebutting. What we're talking about here is asking if you don't understand. Dig into it, and you'll see that happen with the discussion group members. Don't make assumptions. Listen actively and listen honorably, and the honorably part is looking to see if I can learn something from somebody else. Say it at the table or in the room. You know, if you feel the need to write it on the bathroom wall, at least say it in the room as well. Allow the other to finish, and you'll see that this group, they're going to allow each other to finish so they don't interrupt. I'd like you to avoid side conversations and turn off your electronic communication devices. Now, Alina, you have your computer on. I'm assuming that you're taking notes. And I don't see any problem with that. Is that okay if people take notes on their computer? Are you okay with that? But if we've got phones ringing and buzzing and all that kind of business, it's real distracting. So I'm going to ask you to at least try to monitor those. I just remembered mine's still on buzz. And I am turning it on silent right now. So if anybody needs to get it hold of me, too bad. Please.
Jenny, would it be possible of the people that aren't here to bring the group closer in and put those signs on the end so if they show up later, they have a place to sit?
That's a good idea. And I was also thinking that we might ask members of the public if they would move in. When this was, you know, this how the room was arranged, it was kind of late to start over again. And after the public comment period, I am going to rearrange this table in particular so that people at this table could hear each other and talk to each other. So we'll see in a minute what we can do about that. Thank you. I'm going to ask people to aim for positive movement, and I'm going to ask permission to enforce the ground rules. And so if there are two people talking in the room, I might say, can you guys hear okay? And that'll just be a little joke asking to be quiet. So when we do the public comment period, and I'll repeat this when we do it, depending on how many comments we have today, we're going to try to limit it to around 3 minutes per person, and I will help enforce that if it's okay with everybody. All right? Anybody have questions in the logistics, where we're going? And I will explain the pieces of the agenda as we go. Yes? Oh. Okay. They don't have to tell their names, right? They just have to know numbers?
Well, they need to know their answers and options for the desk out there.
Okay. So the woman at the desk will take your order if you need to do that. I hate to have you miss anything, but at the same time, I'm going to push on that 11 o'clock, and we'll see if we can kind of at about 10 to 11, be able to take a little break and have people be able to go out and do that, if you haven't done it already. Is that okay? All right. Thank you. Then, having said that, I'd like to both give the microphone to, and if you have not met him, introduce Director Jeff Hagner from Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. I believe you'll be here all day today, but you're traveling tomorrow. So we need to get some substantial work done today, and then I need to know from you who's in charge for tomorrow.
Thank you, Jenny. I want to just go over a few items here to explain. And if there's a more contentious item that has to do with fish and wildlife, I'm not sure that there is in the state, because bison is one that's been around for several years, and it is a major contentious issue, and there have been groups very much so on far ends of the spectrum on both sides of that. So it's been not an easy issue at all, but we have been trying to work through a process. And those of you that have been around it know that there has been a process in place actually for several years that's started and stopped to take a look at a statewide plan, is that if we are ever going to have bison anywhere in the state, where would they be and how would that be done? That's, like I said, that's gone on for probably, some people have told me, I think Jim Peterson said maybe 20 or 30 years in the last meeting we had. I know it's been a long run for at least 15 years or so that my involvement with it. So what we're trying to do is work through a process here. And some people would say is, well, why bother? There's so much opposition from it. There is quite a little opposition. There's also quite a little support on various factions of this that want to see something move forward. So that's what this process is. And I tell people I have the luxury, or maybe the disadvantage, if you want to call it, I actually have about 11 bosses. My primary boss is the governor of Montana. And these issues, I also have 5 commissioners that I also have to answer to. And both the governor and the commissioners have said, Jeff, we've started a process, we need to move through that process. With no predetermined decision of what we're going to do at the end of that process, but we need to go through the process. And we had started that process several years ago, and most of you know Arnie Dude went around with several meetings and did some scoping. The normal process as far as what we would do with a statewide plan, with an EIS, is we go out and do the scoping, we then come back within the department and we develop a group of alternatives that we put out as a draft EIS. That draft EIS goes out with public hearings, and then we go through that process of taking comments for however long we put out for the comment period, and then we come back and we come up with a final EIS and a decision. In this case, when I came back in here a couple of years ago, I felt it was worthwhile of taking a little bit of a step back and to have more of a discussion. And particularly after the legislative session last time, I think there were probably 10 bills, something of that nature, that were in there regarding bison, and they were pretty contentious. And so what I put out there was the opportunity and the idea that, can we put together a discussion group? A discussion group, not a decision-making body, that we could then move forward with that discussion group and have a discussion about what kind of alternatives and what we could do. And I, with folks within the department, and I visited with several of the Farm Bureau stock brokers, took ideas for people to put on the group. And this is largely the group that you see here. There's a few that aren't here, but I can tell you immediately, I got abused quite heavily that you don't have the right people at the table, you don't have enough people at the table. But I can tell you honestly, the bigger the group is, the harder to get something done, and you can never satisfy all interests. So I do appreciate the group here that's been committed to it, and I think we have a very good group, and I think it's a pretty good representation. We did last time hear from some groups that some groups were definitely not represented enough, and so we did add a couple more people. So we do have a couple more people at the table, but that didn't mean it was wide open. We tried to bring in the people we thought that were most appropriate. So that's where we are, is this is an informal discussion group. We did have a meeting, I think it was last September, that I think we made some headway and we had some good frank discussion like Ginny said, and I think we made some progress. And the group said that they felt it was appropriate that they come back together at some point and further to flesh out things. And unfortunately, it's taken this long to get here. We were scheduled for a meeting in April, but I have to tell you, there was a tremendous amount of confusion of that meeting in April. And there may be still some confusion at this meeting, and that's part of what I wanted to straighten out, is that, one, this discussion group is not about managing Yellowstone bison. The Yellowstone bison is a separate deal, and they've had a proposal for a west side expansion, as it's called, with bison down there. That's currently, a Department of Board of Livestock has said that they're taking no action on that, so that's just sitting there right now. But that's not what this group is about. It's also not about the bison that are currently on the Green Ranch that went the quarantine proposal. And we have gone through a process recently where we solicited entities that would be interested in taking those bison, understanding the conservation purposes and whatnot of those bison, and then taking a look at clearly where, if we put those bison somewhere, they're still serving the purposes of what we did that quarantine study for in conservation of bison. And we had 10 proposals, we're currently looking at 5. We are developing, again, a separate process where we're identifying those 5 proposals and we're going to put that out for public comment for consideration. Those bison are not going to be put out on something that the state would be managing at this point. I just want to make that clear. Perhaps sometime in the future, if we did have a plan that was to go forward with bison somewhere else that would be managed by the state, we are, I guess if you want to call it, we have a retainer on those bison, as we do the ones that are on Fort Peck and Fort Belknap, that if we wanted to take some of those bison back, we could utilize them. But this is not right now, the discussion of this group is not to put those bison somewhere clearly on the Montana landscape. The other thing is that there's been a lot of discussion going on, and just recently came out in the newspaper about the federal government had been taking a look at places they thought was legitimate for putting out bison throughout the U.S. And they did identify one place in Montana, which was on the Charles M. Russell. That was a federal government process. The state was not involved with that. And I don't know a lot of details of that report. I've just barely glanced over that. But I also understand that they made it very clear within that report that they would not do that without coordination and cooperation with whatever states and whatever laws were applicable for that. So I just wanted to clarify, those are the points that we're not talking about. And how this group was chosen, like I said, there's been a lot of contention. It's probably more contention than I've seen on a whole lot of issues, but this is, we're working together, and like I said, again, this is an informal group. It's really not an official, I guess you'd say, a public hearing on a specific issue. We are allowing public comment on that because a lot of the members of the group here, the discussion group, felt it was appropriate to have that discussion, but it was primarily set up as a discussion group to talk about where can we go from here, what kind of proposal should we put out there, and when we do put that out there, to continue to use the group to bounce things back and forth on as we move forward. But it is a process which has started, it's been out there for many years, and hopefully we'll come to a result that everybody understands what the result. You may not agree with it, but at least the result has gone through a full process with a lot of public opportunity, and we've allowed the public to be involved all the way along, and that we have a product that we can all say, okay, we knew what was going on there, so we knew what happened. But it's not pre-decisional, no decisions have been made. So with that, Jeannie, I guess I would turn it back over. I do want to thank everybody that was able to make it for this meeting. The bigger the group, the much harder it also gets to try and get everybody on a time when they can be here. So I do appreciate very much the folks could be here. And Jeannie, I'll turn it back over to you. We appreciate very much you be willing to facilitate this.
I got to come to Billings. There are people on the west side who don't think that would be a fun thing, but I really like Billings. So, I'm going to see if I can make this work without holding it. So, I really appreciate Jeff's comments because one of the things we need to stay clear on today, tomorrow, is what we're doing and what we're not doing. And when this group worked in September, they laid a little bit of groundwork for how they could continue their conversation. And I am not holding them to those things. I'm simply suggesting that at the end of the meeting, we had general tentative agreement around some things. And I just want to talk about those for a minute. And the reason is because I also think that they will help inform your comment if you're going to speak as a member of the public. So the agenda that I talked about, that on the back of the first page has the ground rules. After that, it says building blocks from the September 2013 discussion. And those building blocks, that's my term, not the discussion group's term. That's my term. Because when I facilitate this kind of process, it really is an iterative thing. You can't jump in the middle of the swimming pool and start swimming. You have to do step by step. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So the guiding principles that were suggested by a small working group of this group, and then this group had general tentative agreement, are as follows. And guiding principles help define the decision space. So this group would be recommending, based on how these guiding principles come out, they would be recommending to the department that their decision space be within the box formed by these guiding principles. Comply with the law, respect private property rights, have clear desired outcomes. What do you want to have happen? And be real clear about it. Manage bison as wildlife through a fish, wildlife, and parks realistic management plan. We had a lot of discussion about free roaming, all those kinds of things, and the word that was agreed to tentatively was manage bison as wildlife, as if they were black bear, as if they were whitetail, etc., because they would be the managing agency should bison get to the point that we would consider them wildlife in the state. Manage expectations, and this is in front of everyone, manage expectations by addressing and resolving the containment issue, which is a very big deal, fencing, cost, impacts, liability and responsibility, strategies for anticipating and then resolving problems as they come up. Not waiting for the problem, but thinking ahead about the time, about what we'll do. And as a result of that, an adaptive management component, meaning that there would be measures, triggers, and adaptive management actions should some of those things occur. Target a population in part on public land that would be available for public hunting. That guiding principle came out of the business of if all bison, if all the bison ended up on tribal lands, what would that mean to the Montana public hunter and licenses? And also, where would the license money go related to bison? Utilize a local working group to clarify any site-specific plan, recognize and be inclusive of the statewide and the tribal interests as well. So that means those two would be married. You marry the interests of the local, but you marry those with the societal value of the entire state. And so today, we're going to have a person speak from, very briefly, from conservation districts, and he's going to talk a little bit about the successes that happen when people work together, using the conservation districts as sort of an example. Guiding principle is that open, honest, transparent communication would be assured. And that would include commitment. But the commitment would come from all the parties. If you're involved in the issue and you're willing to be involved, then commitment comes along with that sort of sense of responsibility. And the last one was very interesting. Recognize that leaders have to lead. And the decisions, and it's sort of what Jeff referred to a minute ago, decisions are not about popularity contests. These have to do with the dollars that come in from the public in lots of ways, and that includes some amount of federal dollars that come into the department. How are those used? How are they used to affect and bring about the desires of the citizens of Montana the department is serving? But then recognize that leaders are also responsible for those decisions. And that goes to the open communication, etc. Now, that might sound like a bunch of hooey and some motherhood kind of stuff. But in these processes, if we can frame the decision space within those kinds of principles, then we're more likely to have successful outcomes, regardless of what the outcome is. We also have on the agenda that this group looked at some suggested tentative agreements around constraints or parameters. And the reason that I want to make sure that you are clear on these at the beginning is because some of these are issues that will come again and again, but I want you to know that this group has already looked at these and talked about them. And they're right under the guiding principles. This group tentatively agreed, and you may not agree with this, but they tentatively agreed that there should not be free-roaming bison with no containment. You know, if you're going to free-roam in my backyard, that's fine, but I've got a fence in my backyard, or whatever. That there was some clarification about what free-roaming would mean or not mean. There should be a clear process for adjusting any plan. The plan should be broadly accepted by the affected stakeholders, and the plan needs to be in place to ensure that objectives are monitored, achieved, and where useful, adapted, and I guess they didn't say this, but I would add, funding. There needs to be a clear, lawful containment plan, and any containment plan needs to explain how it would be funded. It's great to talk about wonderful things, but if we don't know where the money's coming from, then it's kind of pie in the sky. Source populations must be clearly identified and disease-free if they're going to go somewhere. And that was sort of, it's the Green Ranches, the Ted Turner, in case people didn't recognize Green. The Ted Turner, the Green Ranch, the quarantine that occurred with those bison was for the intended purpose of seeing if they could come out with some bison that were disease-free after a period of time. A monitoring protocol must, but as Jeff said, we're not talking about those bison here. A monitoring protocol must be in place to ensure the health of the population. So we're not just monitoring whether they're contained. We're monitoring whether they stay healthy. And that's not to confuse them with the elk issue related to brucellosis. Potential co-mingling between wild and domestic bison must be addressed. And that is a public issue, but it's also an issue for the private rancher who's raising bison. Public hunting is recognized as a positive social good and should be used as one of the primary management tools. I remember on the west side of the state that the business of hunting bison was a very big deal, a hard issue to resolve. And so this last parameter is one that this group is suggesting. The third thing that I'd like you to look at, and if I'm boring you, oh well, but I want you to make sure that you understand the box this group has sort of drawn for itself that it's going to try to work in these 2 days. The suggested process concepts are on the next page, and I'm not going to read through those. They have to do with sort of what this group would hope the department would continue in terms of how this EIS process is going. The fourth one were important questions that were raised by discussion group members. And as a matter of fact, there was a discussion group member who suggested that maybe today's meeting should start with looking at these questions. And I'm kind of, in a process sense, choosing not to have us open those up, but I'd like you to think about them rhetorically as members of the discussion group, as well as members of the public. So these were the important questions raised last time. Will managing bison as wildlife be a decision that's made by Montanans? It's not an endangered species. Who knows what could happen? We're hoping that we don't give our power away because we can't solve this problem and go somewhere else. Who would be liable and responsible for what? And probably built into that would be who would be compensated for what? Can wildlife, in this case, bison, realistically be contained? What would the population objectives and goals be related to bison? And that would not just be immediately, but in the long term. How would forage and range management strategies be affected by bison, and how would those issues be resolved on private as well as leased land? So for example, when Jeff talked about the feds maybe looking at putting bison in the Charlie Russell, well, there are leases in the Charlie Russell. And there are allotment management plans that look at those leases that people agree to and sign. And so that's one of the things that if they're going to do that, they're going to have to work out with those leases. And the same would apply everywhere. So how would you make sure that the outcomes are successful that are kind of explained in those allotment management plans and at the same time be able to have license present? Can there realistically be sustainable funding to manage? How would bison restoration be affected if there was a declaration that the species had no standing as wildlife? So if it was only under agricultural designation, such as cattle, then how would bison restoration occur? Where would the money come from? It would become a commercial entity entirely, and the public hunter would not be involved. How would current and future bison livestock producers be affected, other side of the coin, by wildlife designation? So how do you sort out the business of some of us are raising them as livestock, and some of us are looking at them as a restored population of wildlife? What opportunities would exist for the public to influence bison management if they are only privately owned? So if they're my cattle, you know, what are you going to say about it? How would privately owned animals be contained? Because we would not have the same ability to influence that as we would in a management plan if they were addressed as wildlife. What would be the impact to the public hunter if bison are privately owned as livestock? And if designated livestock, how might bison contribute to the economy and as a food source? Are we able to realistically look at bison as contributing to the very important ag economy that exists in the state? So I'm going to ask you to think about those kind of rhetorically rather than opening up wide open, although the discussion group will be addressing them to some extent as they look at the alternatives. So the last little bullet on there is suggested project or test project concepts and outline. And I'm not going to talk about that now, although it's listed in the, it's cited in these papers that you have that are attached to the agenda. The other set of things on there is the list of interests that were identified by the discussion group last time, so that we make sure that even though you may not have a representative at the table, all the interests are addressed. Because you're not going to have a success in this unless if you have some people that are losing. So the trick here in looking at alternatives for the EIS is how to figure out marrying those interests, not alternatives that say yes, no, and something in between, and then department you choose. We're going to ask the discussion group today if they would honor the material they did last time, if they would listen to you, and in this, I'm asking you as members of the public, if you may have prepared comments already, and if you do, that's fine. But I'm also going to ask you if you could help this group think about realistic kinds of alternatives that the department might want to consider when you think about bison on the landscape in the state of Montana. Now, I am not asking you, there will always be a no-action alternative in an EIS. It's just part of the way you do business. I'm not asking you then to say, okay, do it this way and it'll be all right. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to kind of step out of your own paradigm. And if you were part of a group that was thinking about alternative approaches to putting bison on the landscape in Montana, what might you say about it? How could you help the group? Because that's what their job is here these 2 days. They are not being asked to come to consensus. They are not being asked to offer the department a preferred alternative. They are not being asked to say it's only going to be this way or that way. We're going to ask them to do some critical thinking. If they were people who perhaps were not just representing a constituency, but they were people who were sitting down at the table and saying, if we were going to analyze the placement of bison on the Montana landscape, what are the alternative ways you should look at it, including that there will always be a no action? The reason I'm waiting on the test ideas or the pilot ideas is because I'm going to ask this group to look at that as part of their discussion about alternatives. I'd also like to say that when I look at the audience, there are people who were present at the Lewistown meeting, but there are also people who were present and an active part of the bison management process that Pat Flowers talked about in September in Lewistown from the west side of the state. Now, as Jeff said, we're not talking about the management things that they're doing there, where the federal managers and the state managers have come together and created a management plan with a public working group. And so I'm just going to, so you know that we don't just have a bunch of zealots running around the state and have nothing else to do. Would the people who were involved in that process as members of the public on the west side process stand up? Would you mind doing that? And I know who you are. Pat, can you stand up? If you were part of that discussion on the west side, stand up.
The Citizens Working Group? Is that
the Citizen Working Group, yeah. And the reason I want them to do this, they're awfully good looking to begin with. I don't know that. Thank you, you guys. So I just wanted you to know that there are people here who have participated in a process like this, and it is not all resolved, but they have some forward movement. Their issues are very different than the rest of the issues in the EIS. But they weren't a bunch of people that were dragged in to make sure that we got the other side of the comment. I just wanted you to know that they have participated in this kind of a process. So thank you. Would the people who were at the Lewistown meeting, would you mind standing up? Okay. And so some people from Lewistown meeting also worked in that group. And I want to say thank you for coming, because you had to travel from the Lewistown or all the places north and east and west of there to come to this meeting. So thanks for making the trip. Billings offers an opportunity for a lot of different kind of people to make comments about bison. So thanks to all of you for coming. It is about 10:45, and if it's all right with you, I'm going to call a break for 15 minutes so members of the public can go out and buy their lunch if they want to, have a cup of coffee, or go to the restroom, or do whatever you need to do before you make your public comment. I'll start the public comment at exactly 11 o'clock, and I'm going to give you 3 minutes, and I will monitor that, and we'll talk about that at the end. Yes. Can I ask you if we could start with that right after? I just don't want them to miss the chance to order lunch. And so I was going to come down and talk to you and ask you to do that. So we're going to start the public comment immediately after the Conservation District's presentation. I just have this business about, I don't want to have an issue or up because people are able to order their lunch. Okay? And that would be a really good start for us. Okay. So you've got until 11 o'clock. We'll come back in. Mr. Rogge will speak at 11 o'clock, and then we'll start the public comment about 11:10. Ready, set, go.